Yeah! Here we go now, baby. Right back into the action for another day of the week. Welcome to the Monday edition of Before You Bet, airing live right now on the Covers YouTube and X channels. We are proudly sponsored by BetMGM. Make sure you check them out for all of your sports betting needs. Okay, great big show planned for you guys today. We got a Monday night football game. We're going to be covering the NFL in the first portion of the show. At the midway point of the show, Brad Powers will be here. Recap a little bit of what we saw on the college football out of the weekend, then get into his best bets for the week. That is, he has four of them, four spreads that he will be dropping here at the midpoint of the show. Okay, so if you guys want to participate in the show today, very easy to do so. Hit up that live chat over on YouTube, on X, YouTube, a bunch of people in there right now. The boy's guessing what hat Brad will be wearing. Michael says, I'm guessing Tennessee today. NASCAR expert asks, is anyone still alive in their survivor pool? How about those Baltimore Ravens? How pathetic was that? More on that here in a matter of minutes. Okay, so Monday Night Football tonight. We got the Falcons looking to bounce back in Philadelphia. Four total bets for that. But before, let's do a little recap here on the week that was, the week that's still ongoing in the NFL. Let's bring in our guy, the man with the sexiest smile in all of betting. Jingles, how we doing, buddy?
Happy Monday. Made it through another Sunday. Week two football. Penalties, Kyler Murray. There's a lot of excitement. Bryce Young, obviously. Lots to touch on in week two, and then we'll get to it when we get to it, bud.
Yeah, I got crushed yesterday. Thankfully, the Jets and Titans stayed under for me. But I got a hole to dig out of here. So long way to go. Hopefully start digging out of that hole here tonight. But let's do a little recap on what we saw yesterday. So our biggest winners and losers out of yesterday. Let's start with the positives. My list of winners here, my biggest winners here in week two. Let's start with the New Orleans Saints. So no one is going to go crazy about their win in week one against the Panthers at home. But hey, this team might be for real now. They go into Dallas. The Cowboys, typically a pretty good team on their home field during the regular season, at least. And they absolutely destroy them. So 91 points scored in two games now for the Saints. We're going to see if they're for real. Two of their next three games come against the Eagles and the Chiefs. So great start there for the Saints. Plus 140. To win the NFC South right now. Bucks looking pretty solid, though, too. Okay, my second biggest winner of the week, Matt LaFleur, head coach of the Green Bay Packers. No Jordan Love, no problem at all here for the Packers. LaFleur always gets his team ready to play up to the competition. So I dropped this little nugget on X leading up to the game. Where are we at here? So under LaFleur, the Packers 14-3 against the spread as an underdog of three or more. Now, I think that one did close at 2.5, but you know what I'm getting at with that. Now, for the Packers, they're not going to let this be a lost season. Who knows when Jordan Love will be back, but they now have Tennessee on deck. Got a point of pretty bad performance by Anthony Richardson in that game for the Colts. Just 22 years old, though. Plenty of room for improvement. He's going to have to improve pretty quickly, though, if the Colts want to compete for a playoff spot. And my third biggest winner, Kyler Murray. Did you catch the highlight reel plays from Kyler Murray? This guy might be fully back. People want to write this guy off. He might be one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL here this season. 17 of 21 passing, 266 in the air, three touchdowns, 59 on the ground, 41-10 victory. You know, he's going to have an opportunity to skyrocket up everyone's quarterback rankings. If you look at the way some of these guys are playing, we know what's up with Tua. Trevor Lawrence hasn't looked good. Justin Herbert and Aaron Rodgers aren't exactly stuffing the stat sheet. So Kyler Murray, off to a great start. Jingles, your biggest winners of the week here in week two.
Yeah, I'm starting the same kind of path there. Clint Kubiak, just what he's done in back-to-back. I mean, 90 points they've scored. Put up 44 points versus a Mike Zimmer defense. Getting rid of Pete Carmichael, who was the last man there standing in the Drew Brees era. It's Clint Kubiak's time, and now the progressive offense looks great. You said there'll be a test, but right now Derek Carr is, I think he's, 30, 32, having a season. And I believe the Blitz tipped him off at the beginning of the year for over 3,600 yards, and that one's looking good. Just hopefully he stays healthy. The second one, obviously, let's get to some rookies. Marv, four catches, went big. Obviously, that was exciting after a week one dud, but Brock Bowers really impressed me right now. He leads all tight ends in receptions, in yards, in targets, which is bananas to think. And tight ends never win Offensive Rookie of the Year. Why? Because it's a difficult position to understand and to totally comprehend what you have to do with all the jobs. Plus 3,000 Offensive Rookie of the Year. I know everybody else wants to bet the other ones, but we've seen the quarterback play hasn't been great. I know Malik Neighbors is going to be tough to top two, but that's a giant price for a guy. If he leads all tight ends in receptions, yards, it's got to be his. So finally, Steelers. I don't want to say it, but like I was on a Steelers dumping wagon to begin the year like everybody else, right? I think the Justin Fields move is probably better for the team than Russell Wilson playing. But in this spot, I wanted just to dump on Mike Tomlin, Arthur Smith, wanted to dump on it all. And now this is a team that's just winning ugly, but winning. They're 2-0. And you look in that division, all of a sudden, you got Baltimore and Cincinnati combined 0-4 straight up. So you got to give the Steelers a little credit, even though so many people are going to lose money on them.
2-0 on the road as well. Great start by their Steelers. Their defense might be one of the better defenses in the NFL here this season. It's still early. Time will tell. Okay, let's get negative here. My biggest losers of the week. There is no bigger loser in the NFL coming out of this week than the Baltimore Ravens, who dropped to 0-2. So check out this game situation for the Ravens coming off a loss on extended rest. Their home opener versus a far inferior opponent who's traveling all the way across the country to play in the early window. They blow a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter to the dinky Raiders, who rushed for a grand total of 27 yards in that game. So now the Ravens drop to 0-2. And the schedule coming up, not an easy one. I know everyone's making fun of the Cowboys, but they go to Dallas to take on the Cowboys next week. Then they got the Bills. Then they got the Bengals. This is a game that they could not afford to lose. And we saw what happened. Next up, my second biggest loser. How about the Jacksonville Jaguars? This team should be deported. Send them to London permanently. The last six quarters of football, the Jaguars have scored 13 points. So we know what happened in week one. They blew that one against the Miami Dolphins. And then they stink it up in their home opener versus the Browns. What's with these teams stinking in their home openers? The Dallas Cowboys, by the way, at home. Trevor Lawrence couldn't even complete 50% of his passes in that game, so no more excuses for this guy. And check out their schedule coming up. The next two games, Buffalo, then the Houston Texans. The wheels could fall off very quickly here for the Jaguars. And number three, my third biggest loser of the week, the New York Giants. So check this out. No. The probability of them losing this game, when you look at these stats, it's ridiculous. So leave it to the New York Giants to lose in a game where they score three touchdowns. They don't allow a touchdown. They only have one turnover. They only allowed one sack. They only have 20 penalty yards. They were a perfect 3-for-3 in the red zone. They converted 50% of their third down conversion attempts, and they lose the game. I get it. Their kicker got injured. But you got to figure that one out, Giants. That's absolutely brutal. Dishonorable mention goes to Sean Payton, Bo Nix. 6 points scored in your home opener. Really, guys? 2-for-12 on third down. Everyone's going a little too crazy about those two entering the season, I think. And Cowboys losing by 25 points in their home opener. But why can't the punter, why in 2024 do we not have these punters trained where they can come in and kick an extra point? Kick in a chip shot. You're not going to roll the guy out there in when it's raining and windy to kick a 50-yarder. But these guys should be more multi-dimensional. And that's why the Giants lost yesterday. So you got to laugh about that. Jingles, biggest losers here in week two.
What are we going to? Starting things off with viewers with all the penalties. I mean, obviously, there were the big play in the Kansas City game. But, like, there was a really crappy call on Kansas City. Illegal hands to the face. Before on a giant completion before the fourth and long where the PI was. So I mean, everyone's saying that, but something I found today, Kansas City has had fewer penalties than its opponent in 15 straight games. So that's a little cheeky there for Kansas City. And the tinfoil hat people are starting to get a little loud with how the league wants to represent the Chiefs. So many penalties so far to begin the year, obviously the illegal formations are big, but there are currently 16 teams averaging more penalty yards per game this year than last year's highest team of the Cowboys at 56. So half the league is averaging more penalty yards per game than the worst place team last year. Losers, Panthers, Canales, Young, everything about that entire situation. They fired Joe Brady. Now Joe Brady looks great in Buffalo, like revamping the entire offense. Young, last in EPA per play, success rate, completion percentage over expected, third last in comp percentage. This team is minus 60 point differential after 2 weeks. That is ugly. And finally, the biggest losers were big favorites this week. Absolutely insane. Teams that were plus 2.5 or longer went 10-3 against the spread, including outrights. Vegas, plus 8.5. New Orleans, plus 6.5. Green Bay, 2.5. Minnesota, plus 4. Tampa Bay, 7.5. Cleveland, 2.5. Cleveland, 3. Buffalo, 2.5. It's people got annihilated. Picks pools got crushed. And I don't know anybody else that's alive in Survivor. I'm certainly not.
Yeah, I saw that underdogs of 6 or more points so far this season are 8-0 against the spread. Ooh. Now, that will revert, maybe not sharply, but over the course of the season, it probably will. Stuff like that usually does. Now, were you in agreement or disagreement with the defensive pass interference call at the end of the Bengals game?
He was way early. It was there early. Like, I get it. Like, there's times to complain about Kansas City getting too many favorable things. I get it. But, like, people are just checking in on that play. Like I said, the play before, there was a really crappy call on the Kansas City offensive line for illegal hands to the face that wiped out, a 20-yard gain. So, goes both ways. Obviously, it's the Chiefs, but he was certainly there. I think the worst one was in the Baltimore game with the PI in the end zone. So, I'm not going to complain about the KC one. He was there early for sure.
Goddamn referees. They should just get rid of the referees and just go with the honor system where players call their own fouls. I'm sure that would work out well. Like when you're playing pickup basketball with the fellas, I think that would work out. No?
We'll take it. But like, I'm really getting tired of tic-tac fouls, right? Like if you want to call a foul on any play, you literally can. Like you can find something wrong with every play. Like just tone it down.
As they say, there's holding on every play in the NFL. Okay, one more game here in week two, so let's get right into it. Kind of an interesting one. The Eagles look pretty good down in Brazil in week one. The Falcons look like absolute dog shit in their home opener. So, you know, was that a mirage? Is that something we should be reacting to, overreact to? Let's get into our best bets for the game. My best bet for the game, I'm going to go with the over on this one. It is down to 45.5. Absolutely love the drop there. So check out this trend here for the Philadelphia Eagles. They've gone over in 19 of their last 23 regular season home games. Very high scoring games last season in Philly. Average combined score of 60.3 in their home games. Eagles defense, yeah, they picked up a win in Brazil. Good for them. Not a good start here for the Vic Fangio defense, though. As I talked about going to that game, Fangio's defenses have a reputation. They take a little bit of time to get going. They allowed 7.1 yards per play in that game versus the Packers. They allowed 29 points in that game, but it really should have been more. Poor play by the Packers on third down in the red zone limited them in that one. And Atlanta's week one performance, probably shouldn't overreact to that. I think they're going to be able to put up more points here in this one. They only scored 10 points. Kirk Cousins, obviously very rusty in that one. Lack of preseason snaps for most of the starters. And it was the Steelers. Maybe they're one of the better defenses in the league. So I think maybe a good bounce back spot here for them tonight to contribute to the scoring. So I'll go over for that one. You have two props. Let's get going with Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, let's take him. Let's go alt over here and look for some plus money. Love Jalen Hurts alt stuff just because his range of outcome is so far on that side where he could rush for 75 yards. If he rushes for 30 yards, I'll take the loss. But I think 50 is certainly in the wheelhouse here. Started at 33.5, his actual rushing total. We released it, NFL prop picks powered by the Blitz, at that number, up to 39.5. But the milestone here, the 50-plus, has just gone plus 210 to plus 170. If you bet on him last year, you know that his rushing total was week to week in the low to mid 40s sometimes. So we're sitting at a 56.7 rushing yard projection over at the cover site. And what I like about Jalen Hurts in this spot, volume. He had 13 carries. Amazing. 33 yards. That's perfect. Maybe that wasn't priced in early in the week in terms of what his yardage should be. Give me volume over output every day. 26% design runs outside of the red zone per Derek Carty. That's massive. Usually his carries are becoming things within, obviously, with the push, near the one, near the two. But we're starting to see some more designed runs in Kellen Moore's offense. So I don't think that's priced in as much. Take the plus money because I think that's where we see it. He can rip off 23-yarders. Plus 170 is the way to go.
Okay, my favorite prop bet for the game, I'm going to go Bijan Robinson over 64 and a half rushing yards. I think a good opportunity for him to go off on the ground here in this one. So Philadelphia, they were especially bad on the ground defensively there in week one. They allowed 7.8 yards per rush attempt against the Packers. That might be a carryover from last season. The Eagles were in the bottom half of the league in yards allowed per rush attempt. And it probably doesn't need to worry about a lack of usage here. Robinson, under the new coaching staff, he had 18 carries in that week one game. That's the second most carries he's ever had in a game. And a bit of a down day for him. He only had 3.8 yards per carry in that game, but still he did get to a 68 rush yards versus a solid Steelers defense. So I think a good night in store here for Robinson, and you think so as well, specifically in one area. Break it down. Yeah.
Let's go big plays. Bijan, longest reception over 13 and a half yards, minus 115. Usage numbers were insane for Bijan in week one, right? Like 88% of the running back carries, 100% of running back targets. So the guy was not getting off the field. Tyler Allgeier only had three routes ran compared to Robinson's 23, including a 22% target share. So the guy's not coming off the field. 5 for 5, 43 yards and a long of 14 yards versus an elite Pittsburgh defense last week. Philly defense, not that elite. As we saw, they gave up huge plays in Brazil. They gave up 4 runs of 15 plus yards. They gave up 5 passes of 19 plus yards. Yes, Josh, there was a 19 yard completion. I wanted to add it in there. So really 4 explosive plays of 20 or more yards. But this was a Philly team that, like you said, might take some time to adjust, and they were giving up big plays in Brazil. I'm hoping that it wasn't the field conditions, more or less, why there were so many big chunk plays. But I think in a person, we saw that Kirk Cousins isn't going deep, right? We see a situation where Bijan's not coming off the field, and I just think he's just, if they're going to want to do anything, he's just going to have to absolutely get fed today.
Okay, there you have it. A quick NFL recap and our 4 best bets for the Monday night football game. Brad Powers coming up here in a second. But Jingles, you'll be back on the show with us on Thursday. Let the viewers know where they can find and what you have coming up for all of your content here this week.
Oh, content. More baseball. Pitchers, edges, angles every morning. Soft markets in MLB right now with everybody's eyes everywhere else. You can certainly get to markets before they move, especially early in the morning. Be doing that all week. Regular TDs, milestones. It's Thursday night football, next Sunday night football, everything prime time with the Blitz as well. MLB release shows Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday. Basically, lots of content, pal. But enjoy your Monday night. Good luck with Brad. I'm going to stick around and see if I can't get the numbers that he gives out, because he padded some pockets for me over the last 2 weeks as he talks, and I just input those bets. So big thanks to him. Big thanks to you. We'll see you Thursday, pal.
Indeed. Okay. Now let us shift gears to the world of college football and go down to our guy there in sunny Las Vegas, Brad Powers. Brad, the guys in the live chat were trying to guess what hat you would be wearing today. You often have a different lid when you come on, representing the 2-0 Chargers. How you making out?
Well, who's got it better than us? Nobody. That's Harbaugh's theme. I can tell you a lot of people got it better than his former team, the Michigan Wolverines. But boy, what a difference coaching makes.
Indeed. On the topic of your Chargers, they beat the crap out of the Panthers yesterday. Where were you on Bryce Young entering the NFL? Because I didn't really see a lot of people people talked about how he was small and stuff like that, but didn't seem like a whole lot of question marks around him. Now he's looking like a Jamarcus Russell 2.0.
Oh yeah, except about 50 pounds lighter.
Maybe 100.
you know, hindsight's always going to be 20/20. But, you know, I had question marks about him. Obviously played with a bunch of elite talent in Alabama. But, you know, size, you know, contrary to popular belief, a lot of times size does matter. And the reality is he's not as well of a passer as a Drew Brees. Not built like Drew Brees or Russell Wilson. I know everyone likes to compare size-wise. Both of those guys had a lot bigger frames than Bryce Young. Bryce Young, I mean, looks like Pop Warner out there in the NFL. Does not look like an NFL quarterback, and you hate to overreact to, you know, just a little over a year plus, but looks like it's going to be a complete bust.
Yeah, not working out for Carolina, especially when we consider everything that they gave up for him. Ridiculous. Insanity. Okay, so let's get into a little bit of a recap segment here. Then we're going to get into your best bets for the week coming up. Brad has four of them. So take two, your biggest two takeaways out of the weekend.
More inconsistency, similar to the NFL. You want to have grasp on teams, and here we are with three data points and a lot of teams at the top of college football. Yeah, I mean, it's a box of chocolates. You don't know what you're getting. I mean, you see Oregon the first 2 weeks struggle with a couple of inferior opponents. You're like, man, just maybe they're not as good as expected, and then they go out against their rival and absolutely destroy Oregon State. So maybe they are who we thought they were, and that being a top five team. Georgia, just when you think, yeah, we can count on Georgia. You know, the team that's won 42 straight regular season games, and then they almost lose outright as a 3-touchdown favorite, get outplayed a majority of the game against Kentucky, trail a majority of the game against Kentucky. Notre Dame looks great week one on the road against Kyle Field, loses outright as a 4-touchdown favorite against Northern Illinois. And then last week, treat Purdue like an FCS opponent, as dominant as any team's been in any game so far this season, putting a 66-7 spot, the worst loss, most lopsided loss in the history of Purdue football. So I guess a lot of inconsistency, to say the least.
Okay, so not a lot of major big-time stories. There wasn't a lot of major big-time games this past weekend, but one of the bigger stories is Quinn Ewers goes down with an injury. It looks like he's going to be week to week. Do you think that should change opinions about Texas at all, or do things not change at all with Arch Manning filling in here?
Yeah, they don't change that much for me. Number one, I wasn't that big of a Quinn Ewers fan. I didn't bet him to win the Heisman. Out of the favorites, he was the favorite last week. I didn't have a Heisman ticket. I'm not afraid to make 10, 12 Heisman bets. He wasn't one of them this year just because I wasn't that high on Texas to begin with, and I'm not high on Ewers. Arch, I just to prove that, I don't think it's that big of a downgrade. I laid 42 with Texas earlier. When the openers came out, I thought they downgraded Texas too much. Arch gives them a different, you know, dynamic. He can run. You saw the 70-yard touchdown run last week. I don't know. There's a little bit more arm talent. There's a different energy in the stadium. It's palpable, and college football is about energy and momentum. And I didn't downgrade Texas. In fact, he gets experience and gets a couple games under his belt. Texas might be better off with Arch Manning than Quinn Ewers.
Yeah, maybe a little bit of a quarterback controversy here down the road. That could be a good problem for Texas to have, though. The Manning legacy continues. One of the biggest stars in college football, definitely for the next couple seasons. Anyways, okay, Georgia limps to a 13-12 win over Kentucky. Any concerns with that performance, or just kind of write it off, give them a pass?
Well, I mean, they still have won 42 in a row in the regular season, one of the longest in the history of college football. With that being said, and I'm being nitpicky here because it's tough to win in college football, especially on the road in the SEC. And Georgia has, now you look back at it, their first true road game the last 3 years in SEC play. They've struggled against Auburn last year, almost lost a game to Missouri a couple years ago. So this has kind of been their MO. With that being said, what do I see on offense? I don't see an All-American outside of Carson Beck at quarterback at the skill position. I don't see a go-to running back yet. They don't have, obviously, the all-everything tight end and Brock Bowers like they've had the last couple of years. They don't have a dependable slot receiver like Ladd McConkey that they've had the last couple of years. There's some concerns at the skill position. I still think the defense elite. I still think they're great at line scrimmage, and you still got Carson Beck. You got Kirby Smart. So they're still number one, hanging by a thread in my power ratings.
Okay, a little bit of futures talk here before we get into Brad's four best bets for the weekend coming up. Okay, so you take a look at the odds board for the national championship. We have the top three here, Georgia and Ohio State, neck and neck, +320, +340. Texas right behind them, 500. Then we have a little bit of a drop off. Alabama 9-1, Oregon 12-1, Mississippi 13-1, Tennessee 14-1, Miami 18-1. Then an even a little bit more of a drop off. Outside of those top three, I think you can make a pretty good case for Georgia, Ohio State, or Texas. If you need to place a bet or two, who would you be picking?
I got two teams in mind, Tennessee and Miami. Tennessee, both have looked the part, dominant. The you know, competition hasn't been overwhelming like most teams so far in college football, but kudos to both teams. They've gone out and done what they're supposed to do, and that's just demolish their opponents. With Tennessee, you got, you know, elite-level quarterback play, even though he's young, and Nico Iamaleava. You got a great running back in Samson. The wide receiver room's healthier than what it was last year. So was the offensive line. And then what I think separates Tennessee this year, even from their team that was ranked at number one just a couple years ago in early November, is this Tennessee defense is better than expected, especially up front. I think they got a top five defensive line in the country. So that makes Tennessee legit. Miami's the other team. They're going to be favored in every game. ACC's down. The only reason I haven't bet Miami yet, I don't like their coach, Mario Cristobal. So that's the only thing preventing me. But, man, you got to love the personnel, and you got to like what you've seen so far from the Hurricanes.
Okay. Now let's get into the best bets. That's why a lot of people are here. Let's start here on Friday night, San Jose State versus Washington State, a battle of undefeated teams. They're both 3-0 straight up and against the spread. We have a spread of 14.5. You like the favorite or do you like the dog here?
I like the dog. I like the spot for the dog. Even though it's a short week of traveling, it's actually opposite for me. You got a Washington State team off their biggest win of the season. They beat their rival Washington. They put everything into that game. They're crying in the post game. So I think they're a little bit flat. And you probably celebrated that game an extra day. And then you got one day less prep. So I don't think that's ideal, especially when you're laying double digits. And, you know, both games the last couple of weeks have been a little bit misleading. Kudos for them for winning. But the box scores don't necessarily reflect the final scores. San Jose State hasn't played anybody yet, so there is a concern there, but once the schedule's set, you can't control who you play. You can control how you play, and San Jose State's been dominant. So Spartans for me, plus 14.5.
Okay, next up, we have a tight spread. Connecticut favored by 2.5 versus Florida Atlantic. How do you see this one going down?
Yeah, I'm playing a Connecticut team that's better in the stats, play the tougher schedule. I always question myself, you change one play in one game, what's the spread? Well, I mean, they're probably laying at least three if they can somehow hold on and have that big comeback or big win over Duke as an upset last week. And meanwhile, I'm playing against FAU that was plus 5 in turnovers last week against their rival. So a very misleading final. Connecticut minus 2.5.
Okay, from a small spread to a big one, LSU favored by 23 points, taking on UCLA. LSU squeaked out a W on Saturday. UCLA got absolutely crushed. Do you think LSU can cover that big number?
Well, they're going to get crushed again, and we're going to see this time and time again. We have a head coach in Deshaun Foster at UCLA. It should not be a head coach at the college level, any college level, let alone at the, you know, at a Big Ten job. And you saw what Indiana did in the Rose Bowl last week. You're going to see even a more talented and better LSU team in Death Valley, in the heat, in the South, destroy this team. So I think this line's only going to go up. So get it now, LSU minus 23.
Yeah, look to get the best of that number there. Okay, let's bring things home. Northwestern taking on Washington, a 10.5-point spread favoring Washington. What do you think of this matchup?
Yeah, I think two teams built very similarly. I don't see much tempo, below average tempo for both. Both play defense, both like to run the football. And Washington's off there, you know, didn't win the game against Washington State, but all everything effort last week, Northwestern FCS opponent last week. So I think Northwestern's a fresher team, very low scoring game total in the low 40s. I'll take the double digits, especially the hook on a key number of 10.5. So Northwestern for me, plus 10.5.
Okay, there you have it. Some takes from Brad and four best bets. Brad, of course, will be back with us on Friday. We'll be breaking down the biggest games of the weekend, maybe add a best bet or two. We'll see how some of these numbers move. Maybe get the best of some of these numbers. Hopefully we do. That's why we come on the show with Brad on Monday, trying to take advantage of some of these lines here. So, Brad, thanks for joining us. Best of luck with your handicapping all week, and we'll catch you again on Friday.
Thanks for having me as always, Joe. Take care.
Yes, sir. Okay. Big week coming up here at Covers. Any thoughts on Michigan, USC? John Mettler, you're going to have to tune in on Friday. for that, where we will get Brad's opinion on that. We put up a poll in the live chat to see who you guys think covers the spread in the Monday Night Football game. 65% of the people are on the Eagles, -5.5. Could we see primetime Kirk Cousins emerge? That kind of went away for a little bit, didn't it? Because everyone started to like Kirk Cousins again, because he did like the quarterback show on Netflix. If Kirk Cousins shows up here and throws a couple interceptions, people are going to jump all over this guy tonight. Okay, if you missed the Monday Night Football picks off the top of the show, we can recap them now. I like the over in this game, over 45.5. The Eagles have gone over in 19 of their last 23 regular season home games. I like Bijan Robinson to go over 64.5 rushing yards. The Eagles defense got absolutely killed on the ground in week one. Jingles took Jalen Hurts 50 or more rushing yards, +170 on that one. If you're looking for something in the plus money category, and Bijan Robinson as well, longest reception over 13.5 yards. Okay. Big week coming up here at Covers. Of course, Before You Bet is going every single day. We're going to be with you guys tomorrow. Professional sports bettor Hitman will be with us, looking to get an early jump on some of these week three NFL lines. You see the Thursday nighter, by the way, a classic Thursday night football game coming up between the Patriots and Jets. Can't wait for that. I think the total is around 36.5. Wednesday, John Middlecoff's going to be with us. Jake Butt's going to be with us on Thursday. Brad Powers is going to be back with us on Friday. And of course, the in-house guys here, John Mettler and me, covering Major League Baseball, a little NBA talk on Wednesday. Jingles will be back, of course, on Thursday and Friday as well. And just a ton of great content up here on the Covers YouTube channel. So make sure you are subscribed. We are on the road to 20K subscribers. So make sure you hit that button so you don't miss a thing. So we'll leave it at that, guys. Over 2,000 live viewers tuned in today. We appreciate you guys watching on YouTube and on X. Best of luck with all of your bets tonight, and we will catch you again tomorrow. Woo!